إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فأما بعد، فقال تعالى: إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر. My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with the lectures on lessons from Suratul Luqman, and we are on the topic of Salah. And just last Jumu'ah I started on what it takes to have khushu' and khudu in our Salah. We also announced and said that inshallah we would like to do a workshop on Salah, how to bring khushu' and khudu in our Salah, and I was absolutely delighted that one person expressed an interest in it. So which means of course that everybody else's salah is alhamdulillah well and not in need of any correction, mashallah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I'm not being sarcastic, I'm just interpreting the action. So inshallah al-Mustaan, everybody is in good order except that one person, and may Allah help him to increase the khushu in his salah inshallah. The important thing to understand before we go into, and last Jumu'ah I spoke about the importance of dhikr in our free time between salawat, and also the importance of tahara, of always being in a state of wudu, including wudu in the night before we go to sleep. But today I want to start, I want to take one step backwards to look at the purpose of salah itself. It's very important that we understand that, and that's the reason why I recited the ayat at the beginning of this lecture, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar." It's important to understand that ibadat, all our ibadat, whether it is dhikr, which is a boundless ibadah, can be done at any time, anywhere, any state, or whether it is salah, whether it is sawm, fasting, whether it is zakat, whether it is hajj, umrah, all of these ibadat, all of these acts of worship are not for themselves. They are tools, they are means, they are vehicles to go somewhere, to reach somewhere, to reach somebody, to achieve a purpose. And that's why it's important to understand that. Dhikr is not for itself. So if somebody is doing dhikr and he is concentrating on the number of times he counted, and I did 100,000 la ilaha illallah, that kind of a statement has no meaning. Because the purpose of dhikr is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So in this 100,000 times of reciting la ilaha illallah, how many times did you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Him jalla jalaluhu being the ma'bud, and you and me being the ibad, being the abd? The purpose of la ilaha illallah is to remind us about the wahdaniyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and about our ubudiyat, about our being the position of being those who were created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With this understanding, if a person does the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he just says la ilaha illallah one time, that is far superior to simply counting la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah 100,000 times. It has no relation to each other. The purpose of Muhammadur Rasulullah, which is the second part of our kalima, is not simply to repeat that, but it is to remind ourselves about our relationship with Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our guide, as the one we follow, as the one whose intercession and shafaat we look forward to on the day of judgment inshaAllah. And to remind ourselves and ask ourselves this question, that if I am saying that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Rasul, is my Rasul, is the last of the Rusul and the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if he is the one on whom I brought faith, then how much am I following him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the purpose of this dhikr. Similarly, the purpose of salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the ayat which I recited for you. Inna salata tanha anil fashai wal munkar. Verily, the salah is something that separates you from all forms of disobedience and all forms of shamelessness. Fahsha, shamelessness, munkar, all forms of rebelliousness, all forms of disobedience. So, the purpose, that is the vehicle, that is the means, that is the tool. To do what? To clean up our act, to clean up our lives. What is the purpose of fasting? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kutiba alaykum siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. The purpose of fasting is to bring and increase our taqwa. Allah said, fasting has been prescribed on you as it was prescribed on those before you, so that you may increase in taqwa, so that you may become al-muttaqun. The purpose of fasting is not dieting. The purpose of fasting is not simply to keep you hungry and thirsty and so on throughout the day. The purpose of fasting is to increase taqwa. Ramadan al-Kareem, therefore, and may Allah grant us Ramadan al-Kareem, which is down the road, round the corner, in good health and in the ability to take full advantage of it, inshallah. Ramadan comes as what? It comes as a renewal period for our taqwa. So the purpose of fasting is not fasting. Purpose of taqwa, purpose of fasting is not fasting. The purpose of fasting is to increase taqwa. What is the purpose of zakat? It's not simply charity, it's not simply giving away. Zakat is cleaning of your wealth, purification of your wealth. It is to remind you that the wealth must be halal earned, because there is no zakat on haram. It doesn't mean haram is free. It just means that that will take you into the fire. There is no accounting for that. But halal wealth also needs to be purified, and that purification is zakat. What is hajj? Hajj is to completely renew yourself totally, as if you were born that day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, Allah promised to forgive the sins so that the person comes out from Hajj as if the person was born on that particular day. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant Hajj to all those who have not done Hajj yet. And we ask Allah to grant Hajj to those who have done it before, again and again, as many times as He wishes, Jalla Jalaluhu, and to give us the blessings that He promised, which is the forgiveness of all our sins. So to come back to the point of Salah, Salah therefore, like all of these ibadat, Salah is a means to an end. And what is that end? That end is purification of the individual. Tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. The end is the internal purification of the person and the external purification of the person, not only in terms of tahara of the body, but tahara of the amal, tahara of the tongue, tahara of actions, tahara of relationships, tahara of interactions and dealings with people. The purification of all of this is the purpose of salah. And therefore, if I am praying, I must ask myself this question, that I am praying five times a day, I am praying five times a day in the masjid, what is my tongue like? Am I still cursing and using bad language? Am I still lying? Am I still doing ghiba? Am I still doing namima? Am I still backbiting people? Am I still casting aspersions on people? What are my dealings with people like? Am I in any haram relationship? You're praying five times a day, then you make zina. You pray five times a day, then you have some girlfriend or a boyfriend. You pray five times a day, then you are watching all kinds of fahushat, all kinds of haram stuff on the internet. Right? So what is that salah done for you? I'm not saying stop praying five times a day. Of course not, you should continue to pray. But the issue is, here is a medicine that you are taking to cure a disease. And this disease is this filth in your actions and your life. But the medicine is not working. You have a migraine and you are eating tablet after tablet, but your migraine doesn't go away. So what do? You certainly don't stop eating the medicine. What do?
You go to the doctor and you say, I've been eating all of these tablets, my migraine is still not going, what must I do? Do I have a brain tumor? Is the migraine the result of a brain tumor? Or is it just stress? Will you do this or not? If you are using a medicine for a particular disease, ailment, illness, and the medicine doesn't work, what do? You ask a question, you say, what is wrong with this medicine? Either something is wrong with the medicine or something is wrong with the way I'm taking the medicine. There's a famous story in Hyderabad about Nawab Afzaluddaulah, who was the fifth Nizam, the one who built Chaumahla Palace. He had this cough, this persistent cough, you know, didn't go away and went on for weeks and weeks and weeks, and the Hakims were absolutely, they were giving him all kinds of medicines, nothing works. So the Hakim said to him, he said, Sarkar, meetha mat khaiye, meetha rok dije. He said, you must not eat any sweets. So he said, ruk to nahi sakta, kam kar sakta hun. So the Hakim said, what? He said, I can't stop it, I can reduce it. So the Hakim said, which is the thing that you love the most among all the sweets, what do you like the most? He said, laddu. So the Hakim said, no problem, aap roz ek laddu khaiye, ek se badhke dikhana. You can have one laddu per day. He said, okay, agreed. Then another week passed, 2 weeks passed, 3 weeks passed, cough doesn't go away. Still continues. So the Nizam got angry with the Hakim. He said, what is this? Your medicine is useless. He said, nahi sarkar, aapka zara laddu dikhaiye. He said, the medicine is useless. He said, no, let me see the laddu which you are eating. And that laddu was, you know, maybe 2 kilograms or something. Big, huge laddu. So he said, you are eating 2 kilograms. I mean, whether it's one laddu or, you know, 20 laddus. It's so the medicine doesn't work because abstinence is not there. I'm not, ye sirf latifa nahi aapko suna raha hun. Iska matlab hai, ke dawa ke kaam karne ke liye parhez ki zarurat hai. For a medicine to work, the methodology of administration of the medicine is important. Abstinence is important. So for salah to work, you have to control your eyes. You have to watch what you are seeing, and you should not watch what you are not supposed to see. You must control what you are supposed to hear and what you are not supposed to hear. You have to control your tongue and say, I will not use bad language. I will not curse, I will not do ghibat, I will not backbite, I will not do namima, I will not cast aspersions on people. All of this is so that the medicine which is salah will work and clean up my act. In the salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. If you want to continue to do things which are haram, if you want to continue to do things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, but you want, and you say, well, I am praying. Ajib ajib, you know, stories which people tell me. People are sitting and playing cards with money, which is haram, which is gambling. And then time of salah, on the back of the chair, there is a janimas. So the man takes the janimas, he puts it right there next to the card table, and he prays his salah, and he comes back and sits and plays cards. I mean, kisko, who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Who are you fooling? Hum namaz padte to Allah ke upar koi ehsaan nahi kar rahe aap. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need your and my worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enough makhluq to do his worship. The salah is for us. It is to establish and to reiterate and to bear witness to the fact of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. It is to bear witness to the fact that we are the ibad of Allah and we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. It is to reiterate that. It is to get the thing stamped on your visa again and again. Say, yes, yes, you are allowed, you are allowed, you are allowed. Everyone is very hassled now, you know, what will happen? Trump has banned entry of this one, that one, and so on and so forth. How many of us are concerned whether my entry into Jannah is banned or not banned? What if that happens? I'm asking myself, I'm not talking to you. I'm asking myself, what if that happens? What if I, at the time of my death, I come to the immigration and the immigration says, sorry boss, salaam alaikum, goodbye. No entry for you. Which immigration lawyer will help me then? Seriously, we need to get serious with our lives. Your life and my life is not a joke. This religion is not a joke. This religion didn't come for the benefit of Allah. It came for our benefit. And as I keep saying again and again and again, Islam is not a theory, it's not a theology, it's not a thought, a nice idea. Islam is a practice. It is the name of a practice. And any practice works only if it is practiced. Going and sitting in a gym watching other people working out will not help you. You can say, I spend 8 hours in the gym. I'm the receptionist. I watch everybody pumping iron. Spending 8 hours in the gym won't help you. What will help you is if you are working out. Same thing with Salah. It's same thing with Islam, every aspect of Islam. Islam helps those who practice Islam. There is no such thing as a non-practicing Muslim. And people have this terminology, you know, and non-practicing this one, non-practicing that one. There is certainly no such thing as a non-practicing Muslim. Being a Muslim is not an aspect of your race or your color or your nationality. In fact, it would be correct to say that no one is a born Muslim. You have to become Muslim. Islam is a, what is the meaning? What is Islam? Islam is something that you have accepted and believed in and hold as your way of life. That is Islam. So if you are born in a Muslim home and you have an Arabic name, I won't even say Muslim name because I know several Christian Arabs and from their name you would never know that they are not Muslim. So Arabic name or Farsi name, like my name is Farsi. Just because of that, it does not mean that you or I are actually Muslims. Inshallah, we are because we practice and so on and so on. But I'm saying seriously, we have to ask ourselves and say, am I a Muslim? And if I am a Muslim, then what is the sign that I am a Muslim? Do I want to be a Muslim? Are you a Muslim by chance or a Muslim by choice? There's no such thing as a Muslim by chance, frankly. I mean, that statement itself is not correct. There's no accidentally I became Muslim. No, there's no accident. It has to be an active choice. Yes, alhamdulillah, I am Muslim. I accept and understand and believe in and therefore I take the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah as my way of life. Yes or no? Then say it inshallah. May Allah be the witness for all of us inshallah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to be the witness for all of us that we are Muslims by choice, inshallah. The next step, therefore, is to practice that. And the first step of practicing that is Salah. The moment we said this, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, what is the physical action manifestation of this kalima? Salah. The Salah proves that you are a Muslim. And that is the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this very hard statement where he said al ahadu ahadul ladhi bainana wa bainahum as-salah al ahadul ladhi bainana wa bainahum as-salah faman aradaha faqad kafara. He said the ahad, the line, the demarcation, the covenant, the promise between them, meaning those who are not Muslim, and us is as-salah. This is the differentiator. This is the mark which sets us apart. That is as-salah. And he said, the one who leaves it, فَمَنْ أَرَضَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ, that person has committed kufr. That person has denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a hadith which is muttafaqun alayhi. All the sahaba have agreed upon this hadith. That the person who deliberately leaves salah. How many salawat? One salah. A person who leaves one single salah has left Islam. The The Aimma have ruled on this, that if a person leaves one single salah deliberately, that person has left Islam. If that person dies in that state, the person has died without Islam. They have even gone to the point of saying Salatul Janaza should not be performed for that person. He should not be buried in the Qabristan of the Muslims. Then what happens? Then he prays. He comes back for salah. Then alhamdulillah, he has entered Islam. And so his previous sins are forgiven. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now therefore, don't try this as a trick to say, I will leave one salah deliberately, then I will come back and pray the next salah so that I get all my sins forgiven. Your sins will be forgiven if you make tawbah, inshallah. Don't try this, because if you die in between, then you are truly dead. So seriously, the thing I want to remind myself and you is that salah is not just some ritual. You come here and, you know, make four sajdas and go away to rakat of salah, khalas. No. It is a tool, it is a means to achieve something. And what is that achieving? What is it supposed to achieve? It is supposed to achieve purity of the person, the individual, internally and externally, at a personal level and at a level in society, interaction, family, society, country, world, and so on. That is the purpose of salah. And therefore, we need to ask ourselves, is my salah giving me this? Am I achieving this purpose? So how do you get there? As I mentioned last Juma, dhikr between salawat, so the time between salawat must not be spent in useless talk and so on and so forth. Cultivate this habit of doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any of the statements glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the best askar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because that also attracts the salawat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the person who is sending salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Second thing is tahara, which is purity of the heart. Clean the heart from all hatred, all thoughts of division, from jealousy, from greed, from looking down at people, from all kinds of negative emotions. Clean the heart, consciously clean the heart of that. How do you clean your heart from hatred and so on? By forgiveness. Forgive the people, whoever you think has wronged you, whether they actually wronged you or not. The problem with a lot of us is if we hold grudges against people for all kinds of ridiculous reasons. I mean, the person probably never wanted to say anything to you or never wanted to offend you. You decided to get offended. Whatever it was, whether rightly or wrongly, forgive people. Forgive them not because they deserve forgiveness. Forgive them because you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. Yes or no? We want the mercy of Allah. Yes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who shows mercy to the people of the earth, the one in the heavens will show mercy to him. To show mercy to people, forgive people, whatever they did, alhamdulillah, khalas, bhul jao. That cleans your heart. It takes away all that rancor and all the anger and all the frustration and, you know, stuff that you were sitting on, which was really useless for you anyway. And for all you know, the other person who you were feeling all this bad stuff about didn't even know that. So he wasn't bothering his sleep anyway. And then all the bad talking that you did about that person is adding good deeds to his amal. So he is very happy. Alhamdulillah, so many people are bad talking me. Good for me. Yeah, Allah is giving me free good deeds from everywhere. How would I get all these good deeds? Totally negative activity. So clean the heart completely. Forgive people. And seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then second point is, as I mentioned earlier, avoid and leave everything which is haram. The eyes are the root to the heart. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the eye is, it's like an arrow which goes straight to the heart. There's a famous story about Imam Shafi rahmatullahi. He was studying, he was a student of Imam Malik. So one day, and Imam Shafi rahmatullahi had a phenomenal memory. He was one of those people from the Salaf, like Imam Bukhari and others who we know, who had this absolutely encyclopedic memory. He had a memory which was such, which is what today we call a photographic memory. So Imam Shafi used to say that when I'm reading a book, I cover one page, because if I look at it, it imprints itself on my mind and then it interferes with my reading the book. So Imam Shafi was not only Hafiz Quran, he was Hafiz of practically everything that he read. And there are wonderful stories. I mean, sometime I will tell you those, not now, but so he had a memory which was so powerful and strong. One day he comes to Imam Malik rahmatullah and says, I have forgotten the Quran. He says, the Quran has left me. So his Ustad, Imam Malik says, what do you mean forgotten? He said, no, I'm trying to recite Quran, it doesn't come. So what does he tell him? What does the Ustad tell the Shagird? He says, you have looked at something which is haram. So think about what you did. You must have looked at something which is prohibited, and that is why the Quran left you. So Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi goes back home. He sits and reflects, and what does he remember? He remembers that he was in the market of Medina, and there was a lady who was getting down from a vehicle, and her calf got exposed, and he happened to look at it. He didn't go to a website to look at naked women. Right? It so happened in the market, in the bazaar, this lady was descending from a vehicle that she was riding in, and her calf was exposed, and it so happened the Imam Shafi's nazar, he glanced at it. So he made tawbah. And he came back to the ustad, he said, I made tawbah, I made ghusl. Was ghusl fard on him? Was it necessary? The issue is not a question of necessary or not necessary. The issue is, how much do you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The one who loves somebody does more, not less. Right? Does more, not less. You go over the boundary. I need to do this much, but I will do more because I love this person. How much do you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he made ghusl, he made tawbah, and he came back to Imam Malik and he said, the Quran has returned. Alhamdulillah, I remember the Quran. That is the power of the nazar. So many times we are trying to, those of us who, we should try to memorize as much of the Quran as possible. Inshallah, may Allah make us all huffaz of the Quran. But the problem with difficulty of memorization, many people say, no, my brain is old. It's not a question of old and young. It's a question of what is interfering with that memorization. And what interferes with memorization is what we look at. What interferes with memorization is what we listen to. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, make it haram on yourself. Don't go fatwa hunting. What Allah has made haram, what Allah has prohibited, say sorry, I don't want to listen to this. So perfect tahara, perfect wudu, and be clear with regard to what we look at. And please remember that without wudu and without ghusl, where ghusl is necessary, salah is not valid. Now, purification is of two, there are two requirements for purification as far as ghusl and wudu are concerned. One is the physical requirement, which is the water must touch the body and so on and so on. And I'm not explaining here the method of ghusl and wudu. I think that's something that you need to do for yourself. And of course, when we have the workshop, we'll do that. But the tragedy today is that there are people who have not one child, they have several children. But if you ask them, what are the faraid of ghusl? What are the things which are fard in ghusl? They won't know. That means your whole life is being lived in a state of ritual impurity. There are two parts to purity. There is a physical purity and there is a ritual purity. In Urdu, we say paaki or taharat, safai or paaki. Paaki is ritual purity and safai is physical purity. So if there is something dirty, that has to be washed off. But that does not make you paak. That does not give you ritual purity. Ritual purity comes from fulfilling the requirements of wudu and fulfilling the requirements of ghusl as per the rules of the Sharia. So there has to be physical purity and there has to be ritual purity. Both are important and necessary for the wudu and the ghusl to be valid. And without wudu and where ghusl is necessary, without ghusl, salah is not valid. So those of you who do not know the faraid of wudu and the faraid of ghusl, do not sleep tonight until you learn them. Because if you don't know them, it means that your life till today has been led in a state of impurity. We ask Allah to forgive us, and of course, once you what you did not know will not harm you, inshallah. Once you learn, you practice it, inshallah, you are fine. Make tawbah and you are good. But don't live in a state of impurity. I am deliberately not telling you what the fara'id of ghusl are at this time, because if I told you what the fara'id of ghusl are, and if you have not fulfilled those fara'id before you came for Jummah, then you are impure. So your Jummah will not be valid. So I don't want to put you in a masala like that and get you stuck somewhere, and now you don't know, I prayed Jummah, is my Jummah valid or not valid because I was not pure? I don't want to do that to you. So if you know it, alhamdulillah. If you don't know it, may Allah forgive you and accept your Jummah. But do not go to sleep tonight until you find out the fara'id of ghusl, and then make ghusl according to those fara'id, so that you are clean and you are pure, and so also with wudu. Right? So I'm not trying to be mysterious. I'm doing this in order to help you. There's no sense in telling you now something which affects your salah as you are sitting here. So we ask Allah to forgive those who don't know, they don't know. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them and to forgive all of us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our salah. But make sure you make this niyah for yourself just now and say, I will not go to sleep tonight until I find out the fara'id of ghusl and the fara'id of wudu. And you know how long it will take you to do that? 5 minutes. And I am kind of stretching it. 5 minutes. That's all. To find out the fara'id of ghusl and salah will take you 5 minutes or less. Do you have this 5 minutes for your own purity? Yes? Inshallah? Jazakumullah khair. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your coming, and we accept your salawat, and to keep you safe, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah to receive us in a state where He is pleased with us. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه أجمعين.